Welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. In this hour of the Edge, you'll have interesting topics and special guests, and you can be involved by clicking on the Fast Blast link on the EdgeAM.com website. Again, that's the Fast Blast on the EdgeAM.com website. Or get involved locally by calling 317-359-5593. Let's get to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host. Here's Daniel Ott.
Everybody, welcome back to the second hour of the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have Bart Sieber. Bart, welcome back to the Edge.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we were talking about how we're getting through. We've got somehow we made it through the Van Allen radiation belt. Somehow we had enough fuel on a rocket. I'm just being devil advocate here. Somehow we've got through all that. Now we're orbiting the planet with some sort of spacecraft. And you said we did not have the technology to drop down out of orbit and blast back up.
No, not back then, certainly. It would probably be extremely difficult to do it today as well.
Well, it seems to me that that limb, I always look at that limb as like a balloon. If you have a single thruster and you let the air out of a balloon, wouldn't it just fly all around?
Well, you know, I'm in the video business, and one thing why a camera tripod, it has three legs, right? So it has three legs so that it'll always be level. No matter what surface you have. Why the lunar module, which, you know, I think it being level would probably be significant, you know, for especially takeoff. Why did it have four legs? You know, which would cause potentially this teetering back and forth. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say it's in 250 degrees Fahrenheit, it's the size of a small bathroom, and yet it's being powered by air conditioning off of virtual car batteries? For 2.5-3 days.
So you're saying that they claim to have car battery or batteries that run everything, the cooling system and
that
the
lights. Yeah, that from 250 degrees down to 72.
Well, how much
for 3 days nonstop on batteries?
Well, how big will those batteries have to be? They certainly didn't have the technology of batteries that we have today.
No, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, it seems to me that would be about 1,000 tons of lead.
Yeah, and then it still wouldn't work. You couldn't power that much air conditioning.
Well, perhaps
off the batteries.
Well, perhaps they had reverse alien technology, and they had some sort of...
Show me one little green man, and I'll believe, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, we haven't got to that part yet. That's here coming later. Okay, so somehow they're going to orbit the moon, and they're going to drop down. Well, let's get back down. Let's just say we've got all that, and now we're going to descend to the Earth, or to the moon. When I heard that, sometimes, why is it we don't hear the thrusters as they're descending down?
Well, because they weren't descending. They were in Earth orbit. They were doing the audio live so there could be impromptu responses.
Mm-hmm.
That earpiece that they had, we heard what they heard for a brief second at the beginning of this classified footage talk. That's what they heard.
Yeah.
And so they're in Earth orbit, and the engines aren't being fired at all. And so when we should hear, you know, fairly, you know, rattling or something.
Well, let's pretend that they did fire. I've heard, I mean, I guess the NASA and the NASA supporters say that, well, you can't hear stuff in space, but I thought, well, why can't I hear somebody talking?
Well, you know, that's kind of a catch-all for everything they can't explain is the vacuum of space, you see.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a vacuum of space? Then trust us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Okay, since the completion of Part 1, we've produced Astronauts Gone Wild, where I arranged interviews with astronauts who were willing to give interviews, and did the first half of the interview kind of like playing along like they went to the moon, and the second half I confronted them with details.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Bean, I'm like, when you were descending, you know, was that engine loud? He says, no, you couldn't hear it because of the vacuum of space. I ask Eugene Cernan, was it loud when you were descending? He says, oh yeah, it was very loud.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for the audience out there listening to the Edge Radio broadcast, one of the reasons we're having Bart on here because he talked directly. How many astronauts did you actually confront there, Bart?
9 of them.
Okay, I didn't even know there was that many. I was, you know, you always see just the top like 2 or 3, but I guess in all there was a lot of them in on it.
Yeah, 3 per mission, 6 missions, so 18.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like you've definitely done your homework and you've been right there in the thick of it, including to NASA. Did you? I mean, are you financially well off to make these travels in that, or does somebody support you, or how's that?
Well, the film is a limited liability corporation. We sell shares of it,
yeah.
And that's how it's financed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now we're dropping down from the moon and, or from the orbit, and we're dropping down. And there's one astronaut says there was noise, and one says that there wasn't. Okay. So we've got to get past that somehow. So I guess in that case there was half a noise, because we're trying to you know, we've got to think from the NASA point of view, and for those who believe that we went, you know, okay, we're going to give you that. Maybe you got half a noise. Okay. So now you're going to land with a 15,000 pound thruster. I wonder how much fuel it takes to run a 15,000 pound thruster.
Yeah.
In that little bitty craft, where would you put the fuel?
It's whatever they say it is. You know,
I got that right.
All the Apollo 11 data, while NASA says it's not classified, it's also not available. Okay, it's not classified, it's just not available.
Mm. Do you believe the shots of it, do you believe that the limb was on a set somewhere?
Well, I think the limb was jettisoned somewhere, probably over the ocean.
Yeah. Well, it could still be out there, huh?
Probably not. They probably threw it into the sun or the ocean or something.
Yeah, just kept it on going.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Okay, so now we've got it coming down, because I notice as they drop, they go 15 degrees here, right? And you go, beep, you know, you hear a beep, and then they go 15, you know, and then it goes, the Eagle has landed. But couldn't they have just done that on a base somewhere? You saying they actually made that in space, orbiting the Earth, or was that part of it?
Yeah, I think that they had to be on the rocket for a number of reasons. You know, they could be there in front of witnesses, go up, okay, get real zero gravity footage. You know, for the spacecraft, things floating by, which you can get from Earth orbit, and you could really splash down in front of witnesses. The thing is, they never left Earth orbit. That's the tape proves of them faking a shot of just being halfway to the moon.
Bart, how do they explain lack of a blast crater underneath the limb?
No atmosphere, vacuum of space.
Oh, it's, man, that just works for everything. Why couldn't he get a chicken fried?
You know,
because of the vacuum of space?
There were depictions that, you know, this thing, you know, would create some sort of disturbance in the sand, some sort of circle or something, you know, underneath it. However, at blowing up the pictures from the first moon mission, there was no disturbance whatsoever underneath the soil, underneath this rocket that allegedly fired.
Mm-hmm.
The second mission to the moon conveniently had the engine behind a ridge so that it was not shown in all the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Who was
this? This landed behind a ridge and you never saw underneath it, so you wouldn't they could kind of push it off and try to deal with it.
When they jumped off the limb onto the soil, who was it that was taking the picture?
Allegedly, it was an automatic camera.
Man, they had some technology back then, didn't they?
Well, I think that
wow,
that was pretty feasible. That you could rig a camera up to do it.
But you're talking about a camera that had to be on the outside of the ship as it's descending, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Transmitting, though, from that particular distance off of battery powers, that could be a problem.
Hmm. Well, didn't they just beam off a Hewlett-Packard satellite? Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't have satellites back then.
Well, you know, the push, they're trying to go... a quarter of a million miles away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not sure how that would have worked.
Okay.
What
about this famous photograph of the rocks having letters on them? Do you believe that those are prop signals?
Yeah. You can go to moonmovie.com, and I think we have a picture of a rock that's got a little kind of crease in it. I think it's a papier-mâché rock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a C on it, and then after the production of the film, and you have to go back, Daniel, and look at it, there's also a C in the dirt right underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
You should go back to that and look at that again. Not only is there a C on the rock, there's a C in the dirt underneath it. So the C rock was by the C in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
From my analyzing of the pictures, they were definitely, you know, on a set, definitely inside, and the sets weren't that big, actually. They're surprisingly close to the background, and they're not that big of sets, and from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably would have different setups. This will be Area 1, or A, Area B, Area C, etc. And we'll move rocks around, and this will be the setup for Area, you know, when you're allegedly, you know, half a mile from here.
Mark, do you believe if you were standing on the moon that you could look up in the daytime and see stars?
Yeah, I think you could. One of the issues that was brought up is that in the still pictures, which are very pristine, by the way, considering all the radiation, 500 degree temperature, you know, extremes from minus 250 and the shadow to plus 250 in the sunlight, no fogging from the temperature, no micrometeorites, no radiation fuzzing. There's like, well, what about the stars? You know, there's no stars in the pictures. I don't think they would have showed up in a photograph, but you would have been able to see them by your eye. That's a problem, especially with older film. They could either expose the stars only or the astronauts who are wearing white, you know, in extremely bright sunlight. So you can only set it for one or the other. So when you see the astronaut on the flag, you don't see the stars because the iris is almost all the way closed.
Well, I've heard that the reason they don't show the stars is because if any amateur astronomer would look at that, they could tell exactly where they were.
Well, yeah. That would have been a problem. If they had to have faked the astrological position of the constellations, that would have been a major problem. They would not have been able to do that.
Yeah.
It's not so much, the question really isn't why aren't there any stars in the pictures, because NASA's explanation is accurate. The question is, why didn't they take any pictures of the stars by themselves with an exposure setting perfect for them? They never took any photographs of the constellations. I mean, here they were. They never took a telescope. They took three cars to the moon, but they never took a telescope, because a telescope would prove to everybody they weren't on the moon. They would have had to back up, you know, the fact that they could see farther than any telescope on Earth had ever seen, because they were looking out at the stars with no atmosphere distortion. They would have brought a telescope. They would have definitely brought a telescope to the moon.
It seems like that's an
option. And if it's a car or a telescope, you go with the telescope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very easy call, and yet they never brought a telescope because they weren't on the moon.
Well,
they could not fake these. They'd have to make up galaxies that would maybe one day prove to be non-existent when the technology approved on Earth, you know, that you could see that area of space.
Well, in the movie Space Cowboys with Clint Eastwood, the very end of that movie, Tommy Lee Jones is crashed on the moon sitting against a rock. And they have, and it's bright daylight sunlight, and there's stars all through that film footage. So,
well, that's more of a film effect. Mm-hmm. I think the human eye would be able to see the stars.
Okay, let me ask you this: do you believe that this set exists in Area 51?
That what exists?
The set, the moon crater area.
They are not on the moon. Okay, we know this from the footage we uncovered that they did not go. Which means the photographs that they took are on Earth, not the moon. If they're on Earth, they're very likely in the United States for security. And then what's the most secure area in the United States? It probably is Area 51. I know it sounds crusade, but, you know, the thing is, it probably was at Area 51. And I would have those sets completely intact to this day, just in case they need to return to the moon. So the proof is actually right there. You know, of course, who can get access to it?
Without being shot.
A bunch of pitchforks at the gate or something.
Yeah. If by the way...
You storm your way in and say, show me everything.
For our listeners out there, we're listening to Bart Sieber. We're talking about the DVD he made, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. But if you believe that Bart is wrong and somebody needs to knock some sense into him, then go to his website and buy the video he made, Astronauts Gone Wild, and you'll see somebody try to knock some sense into you. You were assaulted by an astronaut, were you, Bart?
Well, yeah. I had come up with the idea since the production of the first film that, you know, what would be good would be to track down some of these guys and ask them to swear on the Bible whether they walked on the moon or not. And, you know, a lot of them wouldn't give interviews, so what I was left with is kind of tracking down where they were going to be at some public event. And then catching them in public and walking up to them and asking them if it's swear on a Bible. So I asked Neil Armstrong to swear on a Bible, and he refused. Started shaking like a leaf. And when I offered him $5,000 cash to give to charity or to go to Hawaii, he still refused to do it. He knows that I know. I sent him the secret tape 2 years before the film came out. He's always, you know, I kept him updated on the progress of the thing because I think the guy was blackmailed. And Buzz, on the other hand, you know, frequently gives interviews, constantly, you know, in the limelight, constantly talking about how he walked on the moon when he did not. And I asked him in Los Angeles a couple of years ago to swear on the Bible that he walked on the moon, and he refused to do it. And he had just given an interview upstairs to a Japanese company, Japanese production company.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid him $2,000 for him to talk for an hour about how he walked on the moon when he didn't. And I said that made him a thief, a liar, and a coward for being afraid for the truth to come out.
Ooh.
Now, I didn't intend on saying that. It was one of those things where the heat kept getting turned up, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't like me saying that, and he punched me. You know, we got that on camera. It's in the film. And, you know, no big deal. I mean, he didn't plan on hitting me. I didn't plan on saying that. You know, and now that I've had time to think about it, I feel responsible for it. I feel like I did provoke him.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have called him a coward, a liar, and a thief. That was inappropriate.
Well, yeah, and, I understand. But being...
And, yeah, I provoked him punching me. So
okay.
I feel like, you know, it was really my fault that that happened. You know, I didn't plan on it. I wouldn't do it again. You know what I mean? It's just one of those
things.
You
didn't say punch me because, I want to get some film footage. All right, we got a question come in on the Fast Pass on the Edge radio broadcast. The question is, if you were standing on the moon, how big would the Earth appear?
Well, somewhere 4 to 6 times bigger. And you certainly would want to pose by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would think so.
Like you and me going to Paris, we pose in front of the Eiffel Tower. You know,
exactly.
If we're on the moon, we're going to pose by the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
However, to get the climate to be accurate to what it really was, they couldn't do it. Because the way they faked the Earth in space is they sent up film on probes. And took pictures and they sent it back. And they used that to fake, you know, the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing with the moon. They sent up cameras and photographed it meticulously. And
mm-hmm.
they created models of it that, you know, this is the real crater there. I mean, they did a pretty good job faking the pictures. I mean, they've gotten away to it to this day. However, they did not, that was a problem like with the stars. They couldn't really show the Earth because the way that they did it, they'd have to send up a probe and process the film and launch something, and there was no way of coordinating that quickly with a storm system mm-hmm. that there might be some hurricane out in the Atlantic that's not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did you ask any of the astronauts you interviewed whether or not they had pictures of the Earth or why they didn't take them? Do you remember?
There are pictures they took of the Earth, but they were never with the astronauts in them, you know, standing on the moon with the Earth in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it would have to be synchronized. That they knew when that picture was taken, what time of day and whatever, and if the weather wasn't exactly like it was, there'd just be no way of back then faking it.
Okay.
So they didn't. They ignored it, just like they ignored ever talking about the stars.
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong and none of the crews ever mentioned the stars. Never, not once. And it was the only... You know, press conference, it was the only question that he said, I don't remember. If he was asked about seeing the stars, it's like, I don't remember. Well, you know, I think it'd be something memorable, you know. And
that's what they trained to do, and here they are on the moon. That's got to be like the biggest event ever.
And you can see right after he says that, Michael Collins flinches and then Buzz Aldrin flinches
mm-hmm.
In reaction to his saying I don't remember, which they felt was the inappropriate answer.
Yeah, what year interview was that?
That was from the initial press conference, which was in mm-hmm. August of 1969, August 14th, I think. And that's now available on our website that just came out.
Yeah.
We have the initial press conference, and it looks like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half. In fact, when I ask people what's the most convincing thing in the first film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, a lot of people say the press conference footage, which I only showed about 10, 20 seconds of, and yet their expressions during this press conference, you know, something is not right. They look extremely unhappy, really regretful, mournful, and their facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Something's not right. And we now have that, the original press conference, which I edited and color corrected from the original footage, cut that together, and you can see them kind of, you know.
Is that on your movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
No, that's now at the website at moonmovie.com. We now have the original press conference footage mm-hmm. just came out. It may not even be up there, but you could just go to ordering the other one and put it in the note.
Yeah.
And then we're releasing the window shot footage, the fake photography in its entirety. We show about maybe 10 minutes of it in the first film,
mm-hmm.
certainly the most damning parts. However, we have the entire thing, which is about an hour unedited, now available.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, just the part you had in the original DVD was pretty convincing to me, because it was obvious that there was some fakery going on, and but of course they had a pretty good sized budget. They could have faked anything for any cost. You talk about having miniature models made and putting probes up to get certain pictures. So they had a pretty good budget to do these things.
Yeah, and you know, that's what they did. Now now what are they going to do about it?
Okay.
They're doing total commitment to the lie.
All right, let's get to one of the most classic conspiracy theory questions of all time regarding the moon hoax. What about the flag waving?
Well, there's a couple of motion picture clips where the flag, the lower right-hand corner, the fabric seems to be, you know, moving on its own, which is, in my opinion, air conditioning. They're in sets, they're inside, they have the cooling units removed so they wouldn't fall over in Earth gravity. It's very hot in there, and I'm sure they have lots of air conditioning. It, you know, it's believed that some people maybe leaked out this footage of the flag blowing, you know, crying out, hey, you know, we're not on the moon. I don't know. It certainly looks weird to me.
Did you have any part with the Fox special about the moon a couple years
right.
ago?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You were, what part did you have in that?
Well, I was a senior consultant on the project, and you may remember they interviewed me extensively about it, showed clips of the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. We basically went to Fox, said, hey, here's the documentary, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, you guys should hear it. They said they can't. It's too controversial for even Fox. So they said, let us tone it down a little bit. We'll give you a consulting fee and interview you, and we'll do a toned-down version of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even show the secret footage, okay? They just showed, you know, other evidence, the shadows intersecting and a few other, you know, points.
Yeah.
And that convinced a lot of people.
Yeah. It definitely riled up NASA, because I believe after I saw that movie, the things that I had seen previously on NASA's website seemed like they started moving pictures around.
Well, who knows? I think, you know, NASA was fooled back then, so they're even more fooled now about it. There might be one or two people there who know, but I doubt it.
You're well aware, of course, there are whole websites that that counter every claim that, you know, such as shadows. You know, this is why the shadows happen. This is why the flag looks like it's waving. This is,
well, this is the way I look at it. If they really went to the moon, then anyone who says otherwise is an idiot. Why, then, are there thousands of hours constructed these websites? Thousands of hours have been spent on these websites to refute the so obvious moon landings to a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm. Let me. Here's a question I had for you, and this really kind of goes in conjunction with a email that I just sent in Fast Blast. Why is it we can't turn the Hubble onto the moon to find any, the rover, the flag, any kind of residue footprints? Why won't they do the? Could they do that? Or is it?
Well, according, yeah, there's folk. This is kind of misunderstood folklore. I get some emails, people saying, "Oh, I swore I saw the flag through my teacher's telescope in the backyard." No, according to NASA, no Earth-based telescope is powerful enough. Also, according to NASA, the Hubble telescope is too powerful. It's designed to look into deep space. Mm-hmm. It cannot focus on the moon. On the moon, one pixel would be 200 feet across. So you certainly couldn't see footprints or a flag within one pixel.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about it yourself? Have you looked up at there, Bart? Have you took a peek?
Well, there's no way. According to NASA, there's no technological way of doing it at the moment. Now, Japan, on the other hand, did send a probe to the moon about 5 years ago with an array of cameras, five different types of camera, infrared and all this stuff. It could have had the capability to take close-up photographs of the alleged landing sites. Unfortunately, as soon as it achieved lunar orbit, all of its five cameras simultaneously malfunctioned.
Man, the coincidences just keep mounting.
The Japanese can't make a good camera.
No, we can't, but it seems like they could. All right, well, we've had a lot of interesting questions. Now, we've got down to we're landed on the moon with our model LEMS lander there, and we're walking around, and how hot is it in the sun, and how cool is it in the shade?
They say it's about 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the sun and minus 250 Fahrenheit in the shade.
So that backpack had some kind of monster AC system, didn't it?
It had something.
Was it large? I mean, could a backpack, what did they say, there were batteries in there or what?
Yeah, batteries and a cooling system, and all sorts of great gizmos.
Wow, man, they had some really great technology back in the 60s, didn't they?
I guess so.
I mean, it's because what you're saying is there had to be a battery for however long they walked on Earth to keep them cool inside that suit.
Right.
So did they have a battery charger? Did they have extra batteries? I mean, there's a whole infrastructure to have to be built around that, seems like to me.
Yeah. And then again, Von Braun said when you landed, you'd have to go into a cave to protect yourself from radiation and micrometeorites, which they never did.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If they're walking around, is it your tape or was it the Fox special I saw that if you actually speed up the people walking on the moon, they look normal?
Both. Basically, they're, you know, the TV picture that most people saw kind of had the astronauts. It's black and white, and they were kind of floating around, you know. Mm-hmm. It looked, I thought, very convincing. And then I thought, well, why don't I just double the speed and see if this is slow motion or not?
Yep.
And sure enough, it was slow motion. They're leaving the ground only an inch or so as if they're on Earth. I mean, when you double the speed, it definitely looks like they're in Earth gravity, not lunar gravity. And yet, the simple effect of slow motion was very convincing and still is very convincing.
Seems like I read one of the reasons that there's such a gap between the ladder and the ground from the limb was that they actually anticipated to sink 6 inches into the ground due to moon dust accumulation.
Yeah, I think the ladder was off a little bit. But again, all these details, are probably intentional to make it look natural, like they weren't quite perfect or something. And maybe that even helped them say they were in lunar gravity even more because they could jump higher, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been creating some scenario to add realism to it.
Okay. Do you believe that the truth will ever come out?
This week? Well, I don't know. Right now, I'm about halfway today.
Seems like you're kind of fighting an uphill battle for that truth to come out, seems like.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll necessarily have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think if it's meant to come out, it'll come out. And one of my guesses is it probably will.
Okay. Let me see this. Was the moon rover, where was that? Was that supposedly tied underneath the limb? Or did they assemble it out of a box? Where'd that thing come out of?
They allegedly carried that on the side of the lunar module.
Huh?
You wonder if that seemed to affect...
Have you ever seen that on the ground, say, from an old NASA shot of the rover on the side of the limb? Have you ever seen that? I don't recall seeing that one.
No, I don't think they really showed how it got out of the side of the lunar module in there. It was just there, I think. There might be a couple of still pictures that kind of jump ahead, you know. Here it is, A, B, C, or something like
well,
that.
Well, I think what it is, when you're in a vacuum of space, you can just tie a rope to it and drag it down.
There you go.
I mean, that vacuum of space thing works really well.
Yeah, and the thing is, these cars, you know, which had fewer parts than a Jeep, they cost, in today's dollars, $60 million each.
Mm-hmm. Again, run on batteries, right?
I think they were solar-powered with battery backup.
Wow.
And here's the thing, you know, I wouldn't personally feel good about driving 5 miles away from my only life support, the lunar module. If the thing breaks down, I wouldn't have enough oxygen to walk back, that could be a problem. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
They said they drove 5 miles away from the limb?
Yeah, they drove 5 miles or some, you know, pretty good little distance away in the lunar module, I mean in the rover.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'd feel comfortable doing
that. Never thought about that. Do you believe that what they claim to be moon rocks, are those from the moon?
Well, there's three possibilities. Either they were manufactured. I mean, after all, a diamond... which is, you know, painstaking quality, can now be man-made, that a specialist cannot tell the difference between a man-made one and a natural one.
Mm-hmm.
A rock, I think, would be easier to fake. So they could have faked a rock. They could have retrieved them from lunar meteorites, which Antarctica is known to have. And, oddly enough, the flight director, Von Braun, did retrieve lunar specimens from Antarctica about 11 months before they allegedly went to the moon. Then you have the possibility that they could have sent a probe to the moon and retrieved lunar rocks. What they probably did was is they sent a probe to the moon, retrieved very small amount of samples, and designed the rocks or either used the meteorites or did some sort of study of them. They didn't have enough to put out that from a probe, but they, I think they used that as a model on how to fake them.
Well, when you're talking about rocks, it seems to me, I remember they said they found a rock from Mars in the North Pole area. So it seems that, you know, because they say asteroids smashed into the planets and they blasted so much soil our way, and on Earth so much soil blasted back their way, so you're likely to find Earth soil on the Moon and Mars even. But you're not saying then, I guess this is the part that you're saying, you're not disagreeing with the fact that there are moon rocks that exist.
Well, NASA claims that there are moon rocks. And we have no way of disputing that because it's a federal crime to be in possession of a moon rock.
Of course, you, as you're well aware, at least one appeared up on eBay a couple years ago. Did you know that?
Well, they're probably counterfeit rocks. Maybe there's one or something. I don't know. According to, it's against the law to be in possession of one. So there's not really any independent testing of it. And, again, there's this wanna-believe consensus. So, unfortunately... Mm-hmm. Scientists, if they are studying them, were either fooled or kind of blind about it.
Is it possible, I know there's a question about shooting something in complete darkness, that say there's the shot of the astronaut behind the limb in the darkness, but it really wasn't dark, but it was it supposed to be dark there?
The still pictures, according to NASA, were shot entirely with the natural lighting, the sunlight. And yet, during the descent, the side that the ladder was on and the door was on the shadow side of the lunar module. Yet in the still pictures, you know, it's very bright. It looks like, from my experience, what's called an umbrella light. It's kind of a diffused light that's bounced into a photographic umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a fill light. But they were, wanted to have a little detail there. I think they overlit it, and it has no explanation as to where this light coming from if the sun's on the other side and the sun is the only light source.
Do you think
the designer of the camera himself during an interview said, "I just cannot explain why the picture looks like that."
Because he didn't expect it to look that good?
Well, he says it shouldn't look like this. You know, it should be dark.
Was that his camera, the camera developer? Was he the one that put the etches, the cross etches on the lens?
Those were on the camera plate, allegedly to kind of tell distance from objects.
Mm-hmm.
So, these little kind of crosshairs, which is kind of a cool effect, makes it look scientific. There's little crosshairs on the pictures.
And how did NASA explain the picture being on top of those crosshairs?
Yeah, occasionally there's a photograph that's, you know, on top of a crosshair, which is contradictory to the way that the camera was designed. What that would mean is it was a compositing of two photographs into one, like a foreground and a background were kind of put together in a still picture.
What do you say somebody that would listen to this program and say that, you know, you have some personal vendetta against NASA or you're a kook? How do you deal with that? Do you tell them to examine the evidence for yourself, or you just ignore them? And you must face that at some point.
Well, you have to understand, I was a big fan of the space program. I had at my home a whole entire wall covered with pictures of the first moon landing.
Before this ever?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the greatest thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Thought it was cool. Then, you know, fortunately I was open-minded, started looking at the pictures, and sure enough, there were inconsistencies I'd never seen. My eyes were wide shut. And that led into doing this film about it and the persistence, and led into the discovery of this mislabeled footage, which unfortunately does prove that they did not go to the moon. In my opinion, it's not a theory anymore. It was a theory prior to this real being discovered. Now it is a fact.
Well, I tell you what, Bart, we're deep into the second hour. For those that may be tuning in late, explain again what it is that you have, the film that you got from NASA that was inadvertently mislabeled, and you believe is a smoking gun and proof that we did not go to the moon. Describe that film.
It's a firing gun, in that we have this unedited footage from which they aired about 10 seconds. If you can imagine your TV screen mostly black with a little blue tennis ball-sized Earth in the middle of it. This is, allegedly, the Earth floating in space. The thing has a timestamp at the beginning of it by a computer dating it, according to NASA's own computer, 2.5 days after they left for the moon. They're supposed to be 130,000 miles away, halfway to the moon. They say there's one window facing the Earth. They've got the lens of the video camera to that window to see the picture that I described, the little blue Earth with black around it. See, here we are halfway to the moon. Unfortunately, we have the unedited version, which proves that this is a fake shot. What you're seeing is actually a circular window of the spacecraft with all the lights off, and they've pulled the camera back away from the window. And several feet in front of the camera is a circular window, outside of which it's completely filled with the Earth in low orbit. And you're seeing a section of the Earth outside of the circular window with the lights off, causing this blackness to be around the window, making it look like the Earth floating in space. It's a very clever shot. They even insert a little crescent piece of black material into the window a couple of inches to make it look like the Terminator line between night and day, and it looks really good, except we have them setting it up, you know, mistakes when their hands get in front of the window or an arm moves across the entire Earth, however you want to look at it, proving that this is a fake shot. They're faking being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't go halfway because they're faking being halfway. And all the missions had identical equipment. And if this mission's, you know, equipment cannot make it go beyond Earth orbit, then none of them could because the equipment was identical on all the missions,
okay,
which means they never went.
Okay. Hey, well, we have a question came in on Fast Blast. This is from Vancouver, North Vancouver, Canada. He says, what about the Russians being quiet? Seems this person remembers that they may have claimed they sent a lander to the moon, either crashed or not. Do you remember that or know anything about that?
They sent an unmanned probe to the moon about a month beforehand, before Apollo 11. Its intention was to retrieve a lunar sample and bring that back to Earth so that they could at least claim we have the first moon rock brought back to Earth. It crashed, and it was unsuccessful. Russia had launched the first satellite, Sputnik, 1957. Then they, after the first satellite, they did the first animal, then the first man, then the first woman, then the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, the first of two spacecraft simultaneously. For every 20 hours we spent in space, they spent 100 hours. Mm-hmm. So they were vastly, you know, they had done these seven milestones all first. So the first seven biggies in space, the Soviet did all seven, we did zero.
And our government was running scared.
Well, you know, the Cold War, nuclear missiles could be put on these rockets or satellites or whatever, and you know, the phobia of that. But I think like in a poker game, they decided to bluff, to pretend like we had greater capability than we really did.
Isn't that what Ronald Reagan did with Star Wars? Didn't he just scare the living daylights out of the Russians, although we never created it?
Well, in 1994, actually on the 25th anniversary of the alleged moon landing, the General Accounting Office, the watchdog agency about the way the government itself spends money, said that the Star Wars missile defense program rigged tests to make it seem more advanced than it really was. The aim was to fool the Soviet Union about U.S. military readiness during the Cold War. So they spent $5 billion on Star Wars. It didn't work, and they made it pretend. They pretended to everybody, including the citizens of America, that it worked when it really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Their excuse was it was a strategy to fool the Soviets. Okay, whatever. What about the guys that got $5 billion for making something that didn't work? You know, what about that?
Okay.
In any case, the point is that the same thinking, you know, had been around a while, and, you know, that was the alleged reason why we pretend to go to the moon. Plus, the Vietnam War is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got a big, big problem with that. Civil rights. This is kind of a pep rally for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look what we can do.
Kind of our own wag the dog situation there.
A little bit, yeah, bigger than that.
somebody listening remembers from the, or I guess you just reiterated on what film you discovered at NASA, talking about the astronauts saying what a beautiful shot it is. We're here halfway from the moon, from the Earth. And then somebody says talk. What did you ever confront anybody at NASA to say who was that said talk? The third line.
No, I never specifically asked them because, of course, they think we went to the moon. So
that wouldn't be a question that they would even let you ask.
It's not really even relevant under those circumstances. I did ask them this. I said, who was on that channel? You know, and I asked them this before I told them why I was asking them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to, yeah.
And they said only two parties, you know, NASA and the astronauts. That's it. Okay. Clearly, that is not true. There are three people on there. You know, at the beginning of this fake footage, NASA says, hey, the TV picture looks great, and there's dead air, and then we hear talk, and Neil Armstrong starts speaking. So it's being prompted. That's on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there's a third party on there prompting the astronaut, you know. And we believe now, waiting, timing off a stopwatch to create the delay as if he were further away from the Earth than he really was.
Yeah, the thing, it had to be a completely staged and choreographed event. I mean, everything had to be thought of, including leaving the stars out and different things, and the vacuum of space seems to be an excuse for a lot of things. Well, let's get back on the moon, Bart. We're on the moon now. I guess we've got, man, we somehow or another, we've got the lander. We had it tied to the side, you know, like a raft, I guess, and then I guess they got it down with some lowering equipment. They're driving all around, having a good old time driving. And now they've got to get back. Do they claim that the rover is still on the moon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now they got in that limb, and they blasted off because they had so much fuel on that little capsule. They had enough fuel to blast off. Has anybody made a calculation of what kind of fuel or how much thrust, any kind of engineering calculation of how much to get back up? And how is it that they even had the technology to hit that orbiting spacecraft?
Well, unfortunately, all the specifications on the limb were lost, and which is really sad because it was such a great technological achievement,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right?
Well, they lost it in the vacuum of space.
So that we could use it again in the future, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't yeah. want to throw that money away, right? But somehow they lost the blueprints. They just lost everything. It's really mm-hmm. sad. They also lost the magnetic reel that had all the original flight data on it. That, unfortunately, got lost as well.
Mm.
So.
Amazing. Lost in the vacuum of space, right?
It gets lost in the vacuum
okay.
of space.
Okay, so you've got, was there two astronauts in the limb?
That's correct.
Okay, so they blasted off from the Earth, from the moon, and didn't it just have a single thrust rocket on the bottom, or did they have on the side of it smaller rockets to keep it steady?
They did, but those, I think, were only used for docking.
Mm-hmm.
So for going from the moon up to the approximate area of the orbiter, there would just be one rocket.
So they figured out a way to... maybe possibly with some advanced gyroscope technology to keep that thing steady on one booster, that oblong-looking, basket-looking thing, and shoot it up there to the orbiting spacecraft. Then they docked, and then they blasted back to the Earth.
Yeah, worked out pretty good.
Huh. Now, what about the splashing down?
Well, because they were in Earth orbit for 8.5 days, I mean, they were really in space, low Earth orbit, and so, yeah, they had to really splash down. So... they could do that in front of witnesses, you know, have this fireball come down in the parachutes, and then there they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, their faces were covered in their quarantine suits so that we wouldn't get moon germs. So, you know, it's possible they weren't even in, but they probably were, you know. They could have done some switch or something, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd say they were probably on the rocket and splashed down, you know.
Now, you know, to say that we never went to the moon probably would have to be one of the biggest hoaxes of all time. Do you have your eye on any other, you know, I mean, if the government went to this length, it's not like once you lie, you stop lying or create fantasies like this to manipulate people. Do you believe that you'll, in the future, will pursue something else that just doesn't quite add up in another field or genre?
Well... not really. I mean, to me, this is the cream of the crop as mm-hmm. far as that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. You know, I don't think 9/11 was a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't personally believe in aliens from outer space. I think it's possible. However, show me one little green man and I'll believe.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, they did not go to the moon. That's an absolute fact. I bet my life on it. Proof is in the film at moonmovie.com. I mean, that's just the way that it is. We found this footage of them faking part of the mission. That means they did not go. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
could they have faked one part of it, but the other part was real?
No, why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you're really going to the moon, I mean, you really do it, you know. Why fake anything if you're really there? And, you know, they're claiming to be 130,000 miles out when they are clearly in Earth orbit, right? So I don't see how they can be in Earth orbit one moment and 9 hours later be walking on the moon. You know, I know the rocket didn't go that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a contradiction right there.
Yeah. Didn't the developer of the camera, though, also say that his camera could not have worked in that kind of heat, though?
Could not have what?
His own camera couldn't have worked in the type of the extreme cold and extreme heat of space. Did he not say that, or did he say it would?
No, I think that was the purpose of it. I think, though, there would have been some aberrations in the film from temperature changes, from micrometeorites, from radiation. I don't think the pictures would have been as pristine.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly wouldn't be lit, you know, behind in the shadows. You know, that's obviously artificial lighting.
Yeah. Do you think that NASA still has other footage, or do you think they've closed the vault now that something got out that shouldn't have?
Well, on the window shot tape, which we're releasing, which is called Monkey Business, it's a DVD, and that's the fake footage in its entirety. We've also included a shot of them walking on the moon with the original slate from it, dated 5 days before they left. And then we have lunar orbit, allegedly out the command module, as Michael Collins orbited the moon, and the moon's going by, then it stops for a second, it kind of adjusts, then it starts back up again. I don't think he could do that if you're really orbiting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on there, too. So, yeah, there's the window shot's the main thing, but then we have them walking on the moon, dated 5 days before they left, and then we have this lunar orbit outtake.
All right, so you have several DVDs of this film footage. If somebody's interested in buying one of yours, which one would you recommend they get?
Got to get A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. That's the most thorough, complete, expensive one to make. I mean, that's the first one. It has the classified footage in it. It goes through the history of the space race, the Kennedy goal. That's the one to get. Mm-hmm. Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
Okay.
And then after you watch that, I would recommend Astronauts Gone Wild, where you see these interviews with astronauts and the contradictions that they make from one story to the other.
Yeah. And I must say that it is slightly entertaining, just in a kind of a crazy kind of way, Bart. So, especially that last scene there. So I do recommend people get Astronauts Gone Wild, too. That was very interesting. So, well, I'll tell you what, Bart, I do appreciate you coming on the Edge radio broadcast. Any other further words about your moonmovie.com website or anything else?
Nah, just go to the website, moonmovie.com, and I would, you know, definitely see A Funny Thing Happen on the Way to the Moon if you're open-minded to the truth. The classified footage is in there. I think it speaks for itself.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on the Edge radio broadcast. Can we have you again sometime?
All righty.
Thanks, Bart.
Take care.
All righty.
Bye.
Have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guest and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.